Hello, and thanks for being with us here on the New Life Show, a series of talks with Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello, Dr. Lightman. Hello, everyone. Hello, Nitza Mazoz. Hello. Today we'd like to talk to Dr. Lightman about life. That if we take a closer look, we'll see that they circulate around truth and false. We see that people don't always tell us the whole truth, and this is also how we sometimes treat others. And we'd like to understand, what does the wisdom of Kabbalah, called the wisdom of truth, have to say about it? Be with us. Nitza, please. I'll start with a personal story I can say about myself, that about 12 years ago, I started feeling a deep need to find the path of truth. The path that many books write about, and over the years, and especially in recent years, it's something very talked about, the search for truth, and people travel to different places around the world, trying out different methods and experiences. I remember that I myself read plenty of materials. I was very taken with different cultures, like the Maya culture that spoke of the truth and how Buddhism sees things. And through a very long course of things, after many years, eventually I remember that when I came to the wisdom of Kabbalah, when I was told that the wisdom of Kabbalah is the wisdom of truth, I told myself, suddenly I felt that I came home to some kind of truth that I didn't know how to explain. But my heart felt that it's the truth, that it's right here, that you don't have to search so far away, but that it's really here. And today we'd like to understand, what is that truth that a person feels that exists in the wisdom of Kabbalah that we don't really know how to explain? Why is it called the wisdom of truth? Depends for whom. There are people that can feel, even though that they have no acquaintance with the wisdom of Kabbalah at all, but they feel through this inner sense called the sixth sense, the so-called point in the heart, and they feel that, yes, in this wisdom, there is truth. And there are people that don't feel it, and they walk through it, and they even come and study, and sometimes they even study for several years, and then they see that it's not for me. I see no truth in it. On the contrary, it's a lie, and they leave and turn to such methods that it's even hard to say about them that they're anything. But this is where they find themselves. Everyone according to their inner development. The wisdom of Kabbalah explains that this is a deficiency that exists inside a person looking for the meaning of life. And this deficiency has different levels and degrees, and it differs in size. And this is how it directs people at other methods. And so they invent different methods, and this is how it is. Therefore, everyone has a truth of their own. The wisdom of Kabbalah is called the wisdom of truth because it reveals the Creator. He's called the truth. Why is He, the upper force, called the truth? Because He sustains the whole of creation and everything that He determined in creation, which is He Himself, creation meaning. It's called truth because it exists. And accordingly we exist, and accordingly we're built and created. Meaning, were we able to say that we're a different creator to create us in a different form, what would be the truth then? It would be the truth according to the creator that would have created us, according to what he would have presented us with. Because we have no other reason to understand what truth or false is, but according to how we're built. It's kind of complicated. So let's leave it aside. It's kind of beyond our framework. I have a question. We're talking about the truth. The truth. And many of the people that I know feel that everyone has their own way, their own truth, the process that they go through in life, and it's very unpleasant to hear about the truth, because the truth means that there's only one truth. If I'm a part of it, then you're not in the truth, in the real truth. My truth is the truth. when the wisdom of Kabbalah takes upon itself, crowns itself with saying that I am the wisdom of truth, it moves aside everything else or kind of disregards it, and it's not that pleasant. How do you relate to this? In a very calm way. What do I care whether it's pleasant or not? I want the truth. That's it. When I was a young scientist, I also wanted the truth. Good, bad, however close or distant from me it is, but the truth has an absolute value. It's the truth. It exists. And you can't contradict it. You can say, it's unpleasant. I don't want for it to be that way. It's like little children, you know, they close their eyes and so they say, it doesn't exist. I don't want it. Does it help? Okay, I like that. You're saying that there is one absolute truth. Suppose that it's here. Now, the three of us are looking at it, or are fantasizing, imagining it. Everyone sees a different form. Right, and then my fantasy about the absolute hidden truth is a specific one, and you have one of your own, and so does she. And we come and argue whose truth is the truth, where the absolute truth is not in the hands of any of us. And we're like those kids closing our eyes. Exactly. There is an article about this in the book of Shamati called The Matter of Spiritual Attainment, that everyone attains according to their own vessels, according to their own ability. And this is explained at the beginning of the wisdom of Kabbalah. Therefore, there's nothing to argue about. Everyone, according to their degree of development, accept the truth, reveal the truth, seize the truth in a certain form, in a feeling, in mind, in heart, in a different way. Also, everyone reveals the Creator, but reveals Him in a different way. How many commentaries do we have to the Torah? Everyone really reveals it differently? Of course. And how can we say, is it one way or another? When you reveal something and when I reveal something, everyone according to their own vessels. Is this the reason why it seems that there are many... The opinions aren't different. The impression can be different, but there is the understanding that we're talking about the same matter. So everyone perceives it according to their own vessel. We go into the same restaurant. We sit, we eat, having a pleasant evening together, wine, salad, meat, different things, spices and so on. Do we feel the same? No. Every dish is something else. Can we talk about it? Yes. Even if we talk in the most precise manner, we can't compare our flavors. Right. So this is how we always are. So it's a good example. There's a certain dish on the table and each of us experiences it differently. And then maybe we should have something a bit sour here. And then someone says, no, maybe something a bit salty. Meaning we have a kind of a general consent, but regarding the depth of a person's impression, we can't compare our vessels. But still, we're all talking about the same food. And then the wisdom of Kabbalah gives us a solution. It says that eventually, if you will connect through love so much that each will integrate with the others, you'll start feeling mutual tastes. Okay, so let's continue with this imagery. There is the dish in the center of the table, and then Owen tells me about the flavors he feels when he eats the food, and you do the same, and suppose I identify with the flavors he tells me about. From within the love, you start identifying with his flavors and also feeling them. But still, everyone points with their finger saying, "In Elokeinu ze," which means that everyone has a God of their own. This is exactly my question. Wait a second. But there's another degree that says, "Hear, O Israel, the Creator is our God, the Creator is one." This is the end of development. Okay, we started with the question, what is the truth about the wisdom of Kabbalah? You said that the wisdom of Kabbalah is called the wisdom of truth because it reveals the Creator, which is the foundation of the whole of creation, and we measure everything compared with Him, and therefore He's called the truth. There are some people that don't believe in the Creator. They don't have to. What then? They have to research and discover what? The Creator. What is the Creator according to the wisdom of Kabbalah? Our basis, Bore, Creator, from the words Bo-e, come and see, meaning that we can change ourselves to such an extent that we reach a state where we see Him, the Creator. Yes, it's not a person. No, we see Him by building His image within us, of the Creator. Yes. But how do you define the Creator? What is the Creator? Some people believe, don't believe, there is, there isn't. Some religions say this, others say that. What is the Creator according to the wisdom of Kabbalah? The general force of nature, the force of bestowal and love. What does the word bestowal mean? Giving. The force of giving and love. And what is that force? Where is it? Everywhere. Suppose now that we're sitting here. Where is it? You're here, Nitzah's here, my cup's here. Where is the Creator? He's the only one that exists in creation. We don't exist in creation. We're in a certain imaginary bubble that we build in our egoistic emotions. That's very interesting. Can you explain that? We exist in a reality which is entirely the Creator. In this reality, there is a bubble in which my egoistic desire operates, which is opposite to bestowal and love, that exists in reception and hatred. And I live within it, inside this bubble, inside this desire, inside this thought. That's it. This is my world. In my reality, I imagine a still, vegetative, animate, and the speaking. Everything that I feel is depicted within my egoistic desire. So, everyone is within their own bubble, or we have one mutual bubble. What is this fictitious bubble? We have something common, but actually it's kind of hard. Let's say, yes, that we're in a common bubble. It's easier to put it this way, because if we follow perception of reality, it's too deep. Yeah. So, I'd like to understand, what is the truth in the wisdom of truth? The truth is that we reveal the true reality that exists, not the false one where we truly lie to ourselves, that we don't see the world, we see ourselves, as if our eyes see what we are on the inside, our inner traits. So the truth that the wisdom of Kabbalah speaks about is the revelation of the general reality? Yes. But it is a constant, steady, existing, eternal truth that is independent of me. This is what I reveal. That's independent of anyone and anything, time, space, completely different dimensions. And this is what makes it an absolute truth, because it's independent. It exists outside of man. And that's the truth. Now, we said the wisdom of truth. So that's the truth. Now, what's the wisdom about it? How we attain this truth? How do we investigate it? How we ourselves have to change in order to get to know it? Do you have to be wise for it? No. It's not to be wise. You need to want it. Want what? To reveal it. The desire to reveal the truth, it actually helps me to reveal it. Is it enough to have such a desire? No, you need a lot of strength in addition to that, and to invest a lot, and to destroy one's ego. So what does that wisdom give a person who studies it? It is the method for the revelation of truth, for the correction of man. the more congruent a person is with the truth according to his inner traits, correspondingly, he'll reveal truth. So if we said that the truth is to understand how reality works, what are the rules according to which reality works? So what do I correct in me in order to see the whole of reality? What's corrupt about me due to which I can't perceive it? All of your attributes. All of them. Yeah? They're corrupt, and you have to correct them in accordance with the truth. In accordance with the truth. You are all a lie. You have to correct yourself to be congruent with the truth. What's the lie about me? The will to care only for yourself. What's wrong with that? Every part of nature is that way. It's not bad, it's simply opposite to the general force of nature, and therefore it's called bad. What exactly is this oppositeness? How am I opposite? You are opposite to the Creator, the general force of nature, which is entirely love and bestowal, that doesn't care for itself in any way, that has no thought about himself. The more a person can come out of himself and not to think about himself, but to think about others, that's simply being in his field of view, and then he can see whether it's so or not. And then, through love of others, he reaches love for the Creator. That the Creator is all in all the generality of all created beings, and then a person comes out of his ego, fears, anxieties of this world, and starts feeling the upper reality that operates according to the rules of love and bestowal. Who determined that the wisdom of Kabbalah is the wisdom of truth? Kabbalists, that from Adam HaRishon and on, these are the Kabbalists that revealed the wisdom of truth and told us about it in thousands of books, and it exists for almost 6,000 years. You said that it was determined by Kabbalists, so I'm asking, what is a Kabbalist? A Kabbalist is he who perceives the upper world and the Creator according to his corrected attributes, qualities. A person who corrected his attributes in accordance with the qualities of the Creator is called a Kabbalist? Yes. And what change did he undergo? He reveals the Creator according to his degree. But what changes did his attributes go through? That instead of thinking about himself, he thinks about what's outside of him. And in this, he resembles the upper force, which is the truth, that in the wisdom of Kabbalah you call the Creator. And since a person starts thinking about what's outside of him instead of absorbing inwards, he starts revealing the Creator. Yes. Okay, and suppose someone went through this kind of process. He's now called a Kabbalist? Yes. So it's not that he studied something and he became really smart or developed or very high IQ or something or special talents, but he simply changed as a human being. Yes, his attitude towards other people changed. Right. And now he also becomes wise. What is the wisdom of Kabbalah? Changing my attitude towards others, this I understand. He said the entire Torah is love another as thyself. So if I start loving someone who's not me, I'm called a Kabbalist? Yeah? Why? I'll tell you. And also, what wisdom does it give me? This is exactly the thing that by acquiring the quality of bestowal, of giving, of love, I come out of myself, of my attributes, desires, thoughts, and I can feel the reality that's outside of me as is. As is. I don't feel myself like I feel in my ego, in my will to receive for myself. But if I have acquired the quality of bestowal, of giving, of love, I as if come out of my body and feel what's outside of me, and then I discover that outside of me there is the upper force called the Creator. That's how it is. Does it stun a person? It changes a person completely. He becomes the son of God, of the upper force. He starts feeling the whole of reality from one end to the other, above time and space and above our entire universe. He feels reality the way it is, it behaves in depth beyond all of these geological times or the time of our universe, the billions of years. He feels the upper worlds. And the main thing is that he is in contact with the one upper force that controls the whole of reality. And then, because he perceives the upper reality and the upper force within his qualities of love and bestowal that are outside of him, which he has acquired, therefore he's called a Kabbalist. How does his day-to-day life change? If he's alive in his body or not? You're talking about a dead person? Dead, alive, it's not important for him. This I don't understand. Suppose a person's alive. He went through the process of love another as thyself. He started feeling everything you just described. You described things, tremendous things. I'm asking, suppose such a person, what changes in his day-to-day life? Nothing. So what did he get as a result of this entire process? So that by participating in this general picture, he'll be able to bestow to it as much as possible so that all people will also reveal this form and that our world will transcend to this degree permanently. Okay, so he took on a new task in life. His day-to-day life is different than mine because his task in life to help all other people to reveal the truth. Yes. So this is an essential change. Yes. So when you say that nothing changed about him, when you look at that person, you don't see anything different about him. So he's engaged in some wisdom of his own. So what? So it's a kind of inner change that people around him are maybe not aware of at all, about the inner process of the revelation of truth that a person went through. Right? That's very interesting. Why? Because seemingly, what did you want? That they will reveal that he's unique? And what vessels can they reveal that? Right, we can't really know what's going on inside a person. Usually, on the contrary, these people are treated with disrespect, Kabbalists. Why? Because they seem a bit delusional, or they want to publicize their wisdom that no one needs, and everyone thinks that it's a lie, and what is it for? People are egoists. They're in contradiction to what Kabbalists consider the truth, which is love, giving, bestowal, and therefore they think about them, that they're liars, that they want to exploit humanity, and so on. Anyone who blames others does it because of his own flaws. So Kabbalists want to help all people to reveal the truth. So what happens with a person who is maybe not yet ready to reveal the truth? If he's not ready, then he resists it. Of course. Why does it threaten him? Yes. First of all, it says about him that he is incomplete, that he's wrong, that he's living in a lie. Right. And then he resists it with all he's got. And it happens naturally to a person. Completely naturally. Any person who's not a Kabbalist is against them. This is really interesting because on the most simplistic level, we see that many times we want to reveal the truth, but on the other hand, we're afraid of it. There is even a desire to flaw. My students that go through different states, they have a desire to blemish me as a teacher. And people in general have the desire to flaw the Creator. Why? Because they still have uncorrected qualities, and when these qualities awaken from within, they want to blame, harm. Is the truth unpleasant? It's obligating. Obligating how? That either you attain it, or you're a beast? Does it necessitate me to change? Does it or doesn't it, that's up to you. But it degrades, that's for sure. It causes me to feel what? Humiliation. Because I'm not as perfect as I thought I am, to say the least. We have 2 minutes left. I want to ask. If the peak of a person's development is that he reveals the truth, and it's an inner process of change that maybe no one's aware of. And it's dependent on a person changing his attitude towards everything that's outside of him in the direction of love. If this is the goal, why, to begin with, were we not made in truth? Why were we put into this detour of a lie and the bubble? We talked about it on our previous show that you can't reveal just one phenomenon, but one from within the other. A thing can be revealed only from its opposite. And therefore, the truth and the lie have to be in our hands together at the same time. And for us to reveal our relations, and then as a result of the lie that is gradually revealed, we'll gradually build the truth. Another question. Tomorrow morning, any person can come and say, I'm a Kabbalist. Someone else will come and say, no, I'm a Kabbalist. I've revealed the truth. A third one will come, you're both wrong. I'm the Kabbalist. I've revealed the truth. Now, I don't know. The three of them come. What am I going to do with them? Nothing. Let them be. What's the truth then? There's no truth. So how do I differentiate? You don't have to. In what vessels can you discern this? I don't know. I wanted a tip. You don't have the qualities and instrument with which you can examine who's right, who's not, and on what level a person is. But sometimes there's a gut feeling. This is the truth, and that's not exactly. So we also measure that according to our lie, according to our corporeal mind. Not yet. Until a person enters the conception and he starts feeling that his teacher is a Kabbalist. Enters what? The conception, ibul, meaning the beginning of the feeling of the Creator. So that's already an advanced state where he has a teacher and he starts revealing that his teacher is in the truth. I'm asking, before that, suppose I want to start studying the wisdom of truth, and there are three people that tell me, I know the truth, and I'll be happy to teach you. How can I know? According to the inclination of the heart. So how do I feel the inclination of my heart? Give me a tip. No. How can you discern it? What is the inclination of the heart? What am I looking for? Luck. Luck sounds like something that's not up to me. Catch the angel. Catch the what? The angel. What is an angel? The upper force. Grace. You have to discover grace from above. Dr. Lightman, you started talking Chinese. I don't understand the word. I'm looking for a tip of how to choose a Kabbalah teacher. We'll talk about this on our next show. The truth is out there. Okay, Dr. Lightman, thank you very, very much. Thank you, Nitsa. Thank you for being with us. Till next time, all the best.